are.
I think we're good. Hello and welcome to episode 355 of the Hooniverse Podcast. I'm your host, Jeff Glucker. Joining me is my co-host, Ron.
Hello.
No freezing, potentially. We waited.
Figured this shit out. Actually remembered for once.
Yep. We'll see how it goes. I have a topic to start this one with. It's about two recent auction results, and we're not going to guess on them. We're going to talk about them because I find them hilarious.
All right.
So I want to talk about some recent auction results, not to show any insanity, but a potential sign of returning to normality.
Normalcy.
Yeah, I like normality because it's from Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. One is a Civic Type R from Cars and Bids. It was clearly bought to flip since it has just 125 miles on it.
Brand new, whatever it is.
Yeah, 23 or whatever.
What do they call this shit?
Oh, FL5, I think. I don't know.
Okay, yeah.
Car was a
new joint.
Yeah, the new joint. The car was a no sale at $49,000.
That makes sense. But what is a sticker?
This is my favorite part. The seller paid $68,000 for it.
With ADM.
Yes. So
what is ADM? Like, I don't know what
grand.
Stickers on the car.
20 grand.
50 something. Oh, no shit.
They paid a $20,000 markup on a Honda. Not to disparage Honda, because the car is an amazing car. And they were hoping they could bring it to Cars and Bids, and Cars and Bids said, nah. So that's a good sign.
Wait, they wouldn't accept the auction?
No. It had a reserve.
It just didn't.
It didn't meet reserve. Somebody paid $70,000, and they were hoping to make money on the car.
Sure.
Hey, stupid. Hey, homie, the dealer already made their money. You're screwed. Yeah. Now, the other car, this one's funnier. The other car is a GR Corolla Core. So that's the base model. The starting price of one of those is about $36,000, $37,000. Mm-hmm. This seller in the comments was acting like they weren't a flipper, but rather that another car they had allocated had come through, and they wanted to sell this one and buy that one. The problem with this, they financed the Corolla. Mm-hmm. So their Cars and Bids auction was a no reserve auction. And it sold for $48,550.
Okay.
So that's still a lot for a GR Core Corolla, but at least this one has the performance package. So that's the front and rear limited slips. So they bought base car with the front and rear limited slips and then some other packages. So it's actually a really nice one. And if you bought it at sticker, with no markup, it's probably right around 40. So they paid eight over, which considering where markups were, it's still a lot for a Corolla, but relative to the market, that's not crazy. The seller on this one didn't disclose the full price they paid, but they have stated to like Jalopnik that they lost thousands on the sale. And they, don't forget, they financed it. Right. So there's gambling on something, and then there's just being stupid and not paying attention to what the market is doing. Interest rates are going up. Used car inventory is going up. New car inventory is going up. People are spending less money. You know, people are worried about the economy. So, and you're gambling on credit. You're gambling on credit. Like if you bought that
your own personal credit,
if you bought that car straight cash, homie, you know, it's a different story. It sucks to lose the money, but you could just sit on the car if you wanted to or do something. Sure. So I think those are just kind of, you know, signs that Mother Nature is healing.
I hope so, but I mean, I still feel like those are just outliers. Like a 20K markup on a Honda. I mean, that's outrageous, but I mean, what's normal? Like, what are they actually selling for?
I don't know what Civic Type R's are selling for, but I looked on Auto Trader real quick. That's not a plug for my company, but I looked on Auto Trader real quick to see GR Corolla listings. And there was like a handful, 20 over, and then the rest, bunch.
They advertise the ADM?
Yep.
They show it? Do they have to show it on Auto Trader?
I don't know. That's a good question. But the highest one I saw,
I see a lot of cars that have ADMs that have markups, but they're just listed at sticker price. And it's like, oh, shit, I could buy a C8 for $67,000.
Yeah.
Then you fucking make some calls or you send an email. And it's like, oh, no, this is $10,000 over.
You know, I should look at that
way with like GT350s, GT500s.
Right.
It would be cool if Auto Trader is unlike some of the other, you know, right, big selling sites, and they force you to list actual selling price as opposed to MSRP.
That could be why that one is listed, because it goes like 64, then there's one for 60, 55, 50. Mm-hmm. None of these are Marizos either. So, you know, those prices are high. And then you go down and pretty soon you get to like just a couple grand over what it should be, then like at what it should be, then an earthquake.
I kicked my bar, which I have my phone and rig on.
That was funny. So like, I actually should look into Auto Trader to see if they make you disclose that or not. But like, because there was one listed for 64, 65 grand. Mm-hmm. So that's an interesting question. But a bunch of them were listed near MSRP, like pretty close or at.
I love seeing when I'm searching for especially new cars, but even used cars, like on some of the sites, guys will just list a car for $1 million.
Yeah.
So that it shows up as the most expensive.
Right.
Like a lot of times it's like the most unique. It's like the rarest, the lowest miles or whatever, but they'll just put like an outrageous price tag to make sure that it's number one. Instead of paying for like a featured listing, they'll just list a stupid high price so that if you search by highest price or lowest miles or whatever, like, you know, this one comes to the top because it's fucking $1 million or $900,000. Right. Like,
yeah. No, there's all the games people do. Remember like back in the day when people would do a Craigslist ad, it was like just 9,000 keywords.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like you're selling a 350Z and it's like V6 Mustang, V6 Camaro, V6 Challenge, like all this bullshit. Yeah. LS, Sherman tank, Yokohama tires, you know, like all this crap.
Sumitomo tires and they got to be run flat.
Yeah. And then they're on eBay for a while. They would like, you could make the text the same color as the background to like hide keywords.
Oh,
another, yeah, fun stuff out there, but whatever. And so that's where I hope that's going. And then you know, you see other news reports where like G classes are being turned in, markups are gone on those, brand new S8s that were like 50 over are now 10-20 under.
S8 was
someone was asking like big money on the new S8 and crazy. I know.
I mean, I know it's a relatively rare car now, but like that is like king of depreciation. Like I wouldn't pay a dollar over for a fucking S. Yeah. Maybe an RS6. Definitely not.
There's always like, just because Porsche people are insane, those dummies will pay markups for those cars. Z06 buyers obviously were paying 100 over on those fucking cars.
Right. Did we talk on the podcast about that one Z06 we saw that like basically grenaded the motor after like 52 miles?
We haven't, and wherever you're gonna go with it, if there's anything in reference to a past conversation, we have to ignore that past conversation.
Yeah.
Okay. Everybody's like, "What?" But don't worry about it.
Yeah. So I've been like keeping up with the saga. I don't know if it's The Drive that's been reporting on it, but for all our listeners that wonder why we're talking to code and being really fucking weird, basically we saw that a new Corvette Z06 buyer that paid ADM, he paid over sticker. I don't remember how much, maybe 50 plus, but it was a substantial ADM. He basically he came with his C8 to pick up his new C8 Z06. So he needed a ride back to like his warehouse or whatever. Like he had to like shuttle the car. So he took a salesman with him to go drop the car off at his warehouse. And like on the way home, within 52 miles, basically the motor started grumbling, making weird noises, and just like, you know, went into lip mode and then just like basically cut off and left him stranded on the side of the road. Like, so he basically hadn't even made it home with his brand new Z06. And he admitted that he did a couple pulls. He said a couple light pulls, nothing crazy. He was just like, you know, I know the break-in procedure of this car and this motor, and, you know, I'm very familiar, and I didn't do anything, you know, crazy with it. But you know, my salesperson was even in the car with me, and like, you know, he'll attest that I didn't abuse the car or like, you know, exceed the rev range or whatever. But basically it's like, they don't know what the fuck is wrong with the car. It's been like 2 or 3 weeks now, and it's like an ongoing saga of, he's just like, listen, I don't want this car anymore. Just refund me my money. Like, just call it a day. Like, whatever it is with this car, like, you guys fix it, you guys resell it, just give me my money back. And the last I checked, like, it was sometime last week, I think, that basically the dealership is like, we're trying to figure it out with the factory. We don't know, you know, what it is. We don't know if we can just undo the sale and give you your money back. Like, he's just like, I don't want it. I don't want this car. I don't want a Z06 period. And you're kind of, you know, dicking around and not really being forthcoming and saying, yes, we'll, you know, refund your money. You know, we'll take the car back. Like, it's, it looks like it's probably going to end up in some legal fucking bullshit. But yeah, it's unfortunate.
What I will say about that car is, think about what they've achieved with that engine.
Yeah.
But then to get there, how potentially stressed is that engine?
Yeah. I mean, I can say this much because I said it on the podcast before. This was when the Z06 and the whatever this fucking motor's called, I don't remember, is LT6. I don't remember what this motor's called.
But anyway, what it's called.
It's a dual overhead cam. Isn't it? It is, right?
I don't know. I just know it's a flat plane.
But it's flat plane crank, and it's a very large displacement for a flat plane crank. And I raised my own suspicions when I heard that, because Ford was having a lot of issues with the 5.2 liter Voodoo V8. You know, oiling problems, you know, bearing issues, you know, it was hard to manage the vibrations that are presented by a flat plane crank V8, especially with large displacement. So it's like, when you consider the bore and the stroke of those motors versus, you know, Ferrari's famous flat plane crank V8s that are like typically under 4 liters, like you have to imagine that they are pushing the very limits of engineering and reliability with those motors. So, you know, not to say I told you so or anything, but like, you know, I just wonder if it's going to be like a consistent issue. You know, it's like manufacturers make sick motors that perform like crazy, but have inherent issues. Like, you know, the E90, E92, M3 V8s had notorious rod bearing failures. I think it's the valve guides and like the 7 liter, the 427 LS that was in the C6 Z06, like, you know, they had issues. So it's, you know,
C7 had cooling issues, right?
Right. C7s always ran hot and like, you know, underperformed, make the C7 Z06, that LT4 motor, the supercharged, like always ran hot, never performed at, you know, full boost, full power. Like, they were always, there's issues when you push the limits of engineering and, you know, really the capabilities of these motors, you're gonna, you know, end up with some shortcomings. But hopefully they sort it out with this one dude, and hopefully it's not like a widespread issue. But you know, I wouldn't be surprised if we see a lot more of this.
Yeah, everybody keep your eyes peeled. This will be an interesting one. I bet everybody in Bowling Green is probably on their toes
a little
bit. Now, speaking of fun V8, I spent a week. You came along for part of the day. I spent a week with the Raptor R, which goes home tomorrow.
I didn't almost forget, but I forgot that was
because you hit your head.
You concussed me.
I took Ron to the, so California, it's been raining like crazy here. And I knew there's a spot we could go slinging around in the mud a little bit. And I showed Ron what 37 inch tires and Fox Live Valve suspension and 700 horses can do.
700 supercharged V8 horsepowers. Oh my God.
5.2 liter. Yeah. 700 horsepower, 640 torque. Just two wheel drive, traction control off, slidey, super sideways. Absolute
fucking right. I enjoyed the hell out of it. That was one of the most fun hours, one like single hours, 60 minutes I've had in a vehicle.
Yeah. It was fun.
And like, it was nice and comfortable and like capable. in the rain, yep. like on a canyon road, getting to to that spot. Like, you know, I was surprised, like the road holding, like, you know, it didn't toss you all over the place. It didn't have crazy body roll. Like, it was compliant. Like, there was, you know, soaked up bumps, and that was on road. And like getting off road, and like I just love the second you got off road, you fucking stabbed it. And it was like, fucking lit the tires up, fishtailing all over the place, just hitting fucking bumps and whoops. Like, I was like, I'm going to lose, like, I don't have any fillings, but I'm going to lose teeth. Like, I just, like, looking at that road, that fire road, whatever that is, like, I'm like, oh, that's going to hurt. That's going to hurt. That's going to hurt. Everything was just like, oh, like, you know, just tensed and like cringing, waiting for something to fall off, waiting for the windshield to crack or you know, my rib to crack. But yeah, like only in the wildest like section of just doing donuts in that mud pit did did my head actually slam against either the B pillar or the window. I don't know. But
yeah, a little side to side.
Anyway, like that was fucking amazing. I can't believe how well built that truck is and what it soaks up and what, you know, it's capable of.
I went back a couple days later with my daughter. Because when Ron and I went, it was just like drizzling. So all the mud I put on the truck came right off. So I went back to fix
that. That was a little disappointing. There was no evidence.
So I got the evidence. I went back. And this time there was like a bunch of people out there. There was like that first mud pit. So first the water crossing was like up and roaring, which I was like, oh, wow. Okay. And then I went in and then there was like four trucks parked past the first mud pit. It was a bunch of teenagers like waiting. And then as soon as I like roll into the scene, I see all these camera phones come out and I was like, okay. And I just went in, did two donuts and pulled out and got thumbs up. And then on the way out, I did it again. And Sloan had fun. And then I was going to go back the next day with Sloan again.
Yeah.
And the water crossing was even higher and faster. And I was the only one out there and I looked at it. I'm like, it's not worth it today. Yeah. It was like 3 feet of fast moving water where it's a short enough water crossing where if I punched it, I probably could have made it across, but I'm like, know your limits. And I like used it as a teaching moment for Sloan. Totally. Like, here's why you don't just charge into these.
Yeah.
And then I actually went again today because I hadn't filmed it yet. So I went in and did video and it was fun because it's no rain, but there's like mud section. So you could like really get the truck dirty today. However, it's pretty destroyed back there. So like it's even worse than when we went where some of the parts where water had run through. Now it's a deeper channel where like it's way rougher back there now than when we were there. But I got the truck even dirtier. And then I went to Home Depot to park in the parking lot and like be like, hey, look at all your little bitch trucks. And then I had to go wash it.
So honestly, that was the best part. I mean, that thing is just like the fucking king of the road. It really is just like you see any other generation Raptors, it's like, that's cute. That's
nice. Well,
then they like there's a couple of dudes that when we were riding around in whatever like Gen 3 Raptors that like avoided eye contact, like didn't even want to look over, and was just like, yeah, you know what the fuck this is. You see red R, bitch. Like, what's up? And they were just
it's a nice truck. I posted a picture on Instagram because I Sunday morning my daughter had basketball and I pull into the parking lot. We were the first game, so it was empty, but there was a Gen 3 Raptor, regular one. It's like I'm going to park right next to this motherfucker. And like, it just looked tougher next to his Raptor. And like, I didn't need to park there, but I needed to park there.
You did. It just sounds so fucking sick too. Like, honestly, like it just, I mean, I know there's the TRX. I haven't driven or ridden one yet, but I cannot imagine that. I already know it doesn't sound as good. Because I mean, I've definitely heard them riding around. They're just blatty, just like other Hellcats and shit. Like the Raptor has a really nice like tone and like tune sound to it.
Yes,
but it's so refined. Like I said, it's just so goddamn comfortable and like luxurious inside. Like I can't imagine the Ram being as nice inside.
No, the Ram's actually pretty damn nice inside. To be totally honest, the Ram is super nice inside, but the Raptor, despite being down 2 fucking horsepower, it's like 700 pounds lighter or something like that. Hellcat guys love the sound of their engine. I love that weep, weep. Sure. You know, I love that. Super fun. However, the 6.4 sounds better as a V8,
right,
than the Hellcat engine. Yeah. So this 5.2 sounds better than the, you like that, you barely get supercharger whine. It's almost all right. V8s.
I don't think I ever noticed it, but it was just like a really nice mellifluous exhaust sound. Like it,
you have to have the radio off, you have to be listening for it, and you have to be like punching it. And that's one thing I've always preferred on the Mopar side of thing is the noise of the 6.4. I mean, I prefer the power of the Hellcat, but the noise of the 6.4 is great. And, you know, 495 out of a 6.4 is pretty fucking awesome, too.
For sure.
So, yeah, that was fun. That was a fun car. It goes back tomorrow. And, you know, I should mention, though, as tested price, obviously no ADMs because it's not a dealer vehicle. It's just the MSRP.
Yeah.
111.
Yeah.
Fucking
wow. I had a buddy that has a Gen 3. Like, when I posted on Instagram, that was Saturday. When I posted on my stories, you know, our little adventure, a buddy of mine that has a Gen 3 Raptor, he was just like, dude, he's in Atlanta. He's like, local dealer that I bought my Gen 3 from quoted me 50 over.
Wild.
For Raptor R. So I'm like, my response to him was like, I think this is the best vehicle overall you can buy for $112,000.
Right.
But for $165,000, there's a lot of other shit that I would get.
Yeah. Definitely. Yeah. No, I'm with you. The price, when you initially hear it, it's like, holy shit. And then you think about it, you're like, well, actually.
Yeah. For everything we did in that thing that day, like there's nothing even close. I mean, you know, obviously T-Rex, but again, I haven't experienced that. But like, I think that's the best way to spend $110,000 if you need something that does every fucking thing.
Yeah.
Everything.
Like we could bomb to Vegas comfortably and quickly.
Yeah.
Or we could take the fucking desert there. We could go to Canada. We could go to Mexico. Yeah.
I had an 8-hour drive to Vegas once because there was like, the like state line was like down to one lane because of construction and people were like hitting the like dry lake bed next to the.
Oh, really?
People were bombing like in Jeeps and shit. And then like. Yeah, I was just like, oh my God, this would be perfect for that. Like, That's fuck it. Awesome. Just straight off the road, just fucking hit the like lake bed. But there was like an Altima that was just like, yeah, fuck it. I'm going to do that too. And I was just like, yeah, it's probably not going to end so well for you. And sure enough, like, you know, an hour later, by the time we got to like where that lake bed ended and like they had to like kind of go up like an embankment, like an exit ramp or entrance ramp and like get back on the road, that thing was just fucking bogged down, front bumper covers off, like it's just sunk in the fucking sand. It was just toast. I was like, yeah.
You know what though? That's just an Altima assuming its next form.
Exactly. So
it's just shedding its skin to molt to become the Altima it wants to be. So yeah, the Raptor R is fucking incredible. On our personal car front, I've got no news. The Montero's but just been sitting outside in the rain. I've got to install some electrical bits. I have I've taken the original lower trim piece for the center stack and I've mounted this electric panel in here. Nice and neat. I'm showing it to the video people, but you can't see if you're listening. But it's a 6 panel light switch from Oxbeam. I mounted it to existing trim, so it'll sit in there nice. There's a hole in the back where the wiring will come out.
Oh, nice.
And then I get this in. It's a really nice system with its own fuses and all that good stuff. It has a sticker sheet so you can like tell it what you want. So it'll be lights.
Is that panel made for your truck or?
No. This is a generic panel that I just mounted to this by like just kind of cutting and sanding. Trying to make it happen.
Arts and crafts.
Yeah, I'm a fabricator now. move over, Riddler trophy, here I come. So yeah, and then the Jag is just sitting here waiting for Ron to buy it.
Yeah. I gotta drive it.
Yeah, come drive it because I'm ready to
sell. I'm scared to fall in love with it and then I'll just like
go do a burnout in it.
Then I'll have to buy it because something will break and
it'll be mine. Even if something broke, I would never
be anything wrong with it. I'm just
if someone was in my car and I said, do a burnout and they did a burnout and something broke, you'd be like, oh, I shouldn't have told you to do that. It's my bad.
I would never. I mean, if I were tables turned, I would never be mad, but I would definitely be cautious. There's a reason like guys like our buddy Musto and like, you know, Sean from Autotopia, they're just like, I'd rather you do the burnout a lot of times. Like, you know, just don't even want to have to deal with that, like,
yeah,
awkward.
Okay. Nice. Any news on your, have you been to the speakeasy in like a year?
I went today.
Oh,
I went today. My buddy Sam and Vin were over there. We just got a sick ass, sorry. I always fail to talk directly into the mic. It's, I don't know what's wrong with me, but, yeah, I went over today on my way home from work and, Vin got us a sick ass, like 200 gallon, I think, I don't know. I don't know capacities, but a big ass fucking air compressor and from Bin Pack. And, we hooked that up to the tire machine so that we can finally mount balance and, you know, dismount tires and stuff. And I have a set of tires, wheels that I want to dismount in order to paint them for my Audi. Mm. But, I went there today to get a tutorial because the funny thing is that in my 20 plus years in the wheel industry, I've never, ever learned how to mount, dismount, a tire.
I have,
you know, everywhere that I've ever worked, like that's been somebody else's job. And like, you know, I'm the sales guy, I'm the marketing guy, I'm the designer, whatever, like get the fuck out of here. Like, stop watching me. Like, you know, it's like, all right, you know, here's my wheels, here's my tires, you handle it. And like, sometimes I'll help and shit, but, you know, it's just, it's never been necessary for me to learn how to mount and balance. So
nice.
I was watching Vin today and, he was mounting a set of rotiforms. He's got a F80 M3. And, he was mounting a set of 19 inch rotiforms on Falcon, what are they, like 660s. And those tires are so fucking fat. They're like a 305 is like a 325. I feel like, they're just super fat for the designated sizing. And he struggled. He'd like, you know, it took him like 2 hours to mount two tires because they were so stiff and like sticky and like, you know, didn't have the right lube. So it was definitely discouraging watching him. And then like he ended up breaking, sorry, Vin, I'm kind of ratting you out here, but, he ended up breaking one of his, TPMS.
Oh,
so that was like it. It was just like, we got halfway in and then we're done. So we just like bailed on it and we're like, all right, we'll come back. We'll reconvene, get a new sensor and come back like Saturday or some shit. But, I really want to learn how to do that, but
yeah, it'd be cool. I have a set of tires I still haven't put on my wife's car. So I need to do that.
Yeah. I mean, you don't want to learn from me, but, no,
it's probably cheaper to just have the guy down the street do it. Speaking of tires, did you see the tire size on the back of the E-Ray Corvette?
It's a 355.
Oh, I thought a 345. Maybe there's an option.
I thought it was 355. I thought it was the same as the Z06. Isn't wide body? Isn't the same?
Maybe it is a 355. I read 345, but it is. I know it shares the front.
No, I'm actually thinking of some other aftermarket shit that I was looking at. So okay. it probably is 345. Is it 345 a 20 or 21?
On a 21 in the back. The fronts are 20s. 345. That's a big tire.
Yeah, dude. Yeah.
For a hybrid.
That shit's crazy.
And it's the fastest production Corvette ever. Quickest. Correct.
Yes. I don't know what it tops out of.
Good correction.
Quickest.
Good correction.
It was 0-60 under 3 seconds, right? Like two and a half. Yeah, that's wild.
It's a 10 faster than the Z06. I think top speed's like 180.
Really? That's it?
Like that. Well, yeah, 1/10.
Wow. Damn, I didn't realize Z06 was that quick.
Yeah, Z06 is 2.6.
That's sick.
Which is even crazier because
yeah, it is.
Because that's a crazier number than the E-Ray. Yeah, because all-wheel drive, electric motor. Yeah, all that shit. It was funny, though, because I did a video for Auto Trader before they announced where I was like, you know, E-Rays come in. What we're expecting is it's going to be hybrid paired with some manner of V8. Some guy wrote a long comment. He's like, there's no way that you don't do a V8 with a hybrid. It's going to be some kind of like a 3.6 liter six, this or that, blah, blah, blah. And then GM comes out and, you know, it's like, look at 6.2 liter V8, blah, blah, blah. And I screenshotted his comment and I put it in the other Auto Trader video I did. And I was like, hey, you know, sometimes the internet doesn't believe you, but there you go. When we say people are speculating, what we mean is, a lot of us already know. We're just not allowed to tell you the full details yet.
Right.
So yeah, that was a fun one.
I don't know. I think it's cool. I get, you know, I see a lot of old school dudes and like, you know, I feel like there's some guys even our age that are like adopting this boomer mentality that everything is ruined by electric drive and like – there's no place for electric motors in a Corvette. Like, what the fuck are you talking about, man? Like, this thing absolutely rips. It won't fucking, you know, spin you off the fucking freeway when you're leaving fucking Cars and Coffee. Like, it'll fucking grip and go. And you still get fucking V8 power.
It's, and they still sell versions that don't have electrification.
What are you worried about? Like, what are you being robbed of? What are you losing here? I don't understand.
Right. It's not like there's no stick in the C8 at all. So that's
it's not plug in. You don't have to fucking plug it in.
You can drive the E-Ray all year long, no matter where you live, which is dope.
Right. I love the fact that, like, I don't know how unique this is to the hybrid world, but the fact that it's got like a really small battery pack that like recharges almost instantly, and it's basically just for bursts of power to the
performance axle.
Yeah. So it's like, you know, it doesn't add a ton of weight, but also you don't have to worry, like it regens and charges the battery like pretty instantly. Like I think I read that like one of the Corvette engineers said basically the reason why there's no plug-in options because just from regen and just from, you know, regular driving, like,
oh yeah, if you were
to plug it in to recharge, by the time you like plug it in, close the garage door, take your shoes off, it will already be like, fully charged. Like,
it's only 1.9 kilowatt hours. It's a very small battery.
Yeah.
Like it, if you drive it in that stealth mode,
right,
you get five miles.
3 miles. Yeah. 5 miles.
Said five, and it can only go up to 45 miles an hour. Cause it's just the front axle.
That's fucking brilliant for, you know, dudes like me that like live in a complex or like, at a house where like you have neighbors close by and it's just like, you want to go to fucking Cars and Coffee, or you want to go to the track, or you want to get up early and enjoy your car. And like, that's fucking amazing that you can drive away silently, get out of your neighborhood, and then fucking click on the V8 and just, piss off everybody else. That's not your neighbors.
The NSX walked so the E-Ray could run.
There you go.
Because I loved that about the NSX. I used to put it in silent mode when I was in like going to grocery stores and stuff, and just cruise through. And then like as I'm leaving, I love that shit.
It's been whatever since the launch that I've experienced an NSX. I don't remember it being loud though. I mean, maybe
there was a mode, the last one I had was a Type S, and there was a mode where it could be, it will never be like E-Ray Corvette V8 loud, but there was a mode where it sounded good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you see, Amelia's twin turbo Z06?
No.
So she, you know, she's got a new C8 Z06 and she's the first with twin turbos, but I'm just going to say, go look at her post, like her sound clips on Instagram, and judge for yourself. But I think the comments tell the tale there. I don't think those turbos are doing anything. I think they're, you know, fucking weight gates like pegged open, like they're just for noise. Like the car, she launched the car and it seemed like it was even slower than stock. And like, I don't mean to bash anything, but it's just like, you know, if you don't have software,
like, no one has software for that.
So if you don't have software to take advantage of boost, like you're just making noise.
Right.
And sounds cool, but like it kind of defeats a purpose on that motor.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Big
time. Like, you know, you want that naturally aspirated like rev and wail and like, you know, super, you know, high strung like characteristics. And I think just strapping.
There's a reason why no one
all that away.
There's a reason why no one likes the way that current Formula One cars sound. And you've just done that to your Corvette.
Exactly.
Not to hate, because she does cool shit.
Yeah, but I think that is that was a short-sighted deal just to get clicks and views, and it's like,
you know,
eventually, yes, the technology you'll catch up and you'll actually make power, but again, how much boost will that motor take? How much extra power will it handle? Like, you know,
right?
I don't know.
All right, jumping over to Instagram, so we got a good amount of questions. Dr. Bell 964, what's part of your daily routine to keep you motivated? Money? I don't know. No, I want to buy things. No, that's a terrible answer. I mean, it's part of it. You can't lie. I don't know. I don't hate what I do. I want to go experience other things in the world, and to do that you have to keep working, and I mean there are aspects of it where I feel very unmotivated. it's tough to run my own website these days because work is so busy. I'll be totally honest, this podcast is work because like Ron and I don't get paid for this. We don't have sponsors. We made a few bucks off those t-shirts, but and I saw the first draft of the next one and it looks pretty good. No dolphins yet, but I saw the face of it. It looks dope. We do this cause it's fun and we like chatting with each other and some of you seem to like it. And so we keep going on that, but I don't know. Everybody feels like I don't want to work out. I don't want to go for a drive. I don't want to ride the mountain bike. I don't want to do this and that. And you just got to do it. What are you going to sit there and scroll on your fucking phone, which I do way too much of too, but like the alternative, it's part of the reason why I don't even know if I've talked about it, or maybe I brought it up, but at the age of 42, I think I did, right? Starting to learn to play guitar.
Yeah.
So it's sitting next to me right here and I'm going to pick this up for a minimum of, 20 to 30 minutes every day. And just, so like you think of it like that, like just get it into your routine and then it isn't something where you have to motivate yourself. It's just something that you do.
Yeah. Along those lines, this isn't necessarily my answer, but, I hate influencer culture. I hate the word influencer, but like, certain people that's what they are. That's what they live for.
Rise and grind, bro.
There's a guy that I followed for, I guess, 10 years now since the inception of Instagram. And, I was, I've always been a huge fan of The Weeknd. Right. And, since the beginning, since 2011,
he had
this photographer that went to all of his shows and these are small venues. This is long before this dude was doing any kind of tour. Like it was just random gigs here and there, but there's this dude that took pictures of the crowd and would post pictures. And it was just it showed the most fanatic, fans in the audience and stuff. And, back then the Instagram page was Last Night's Party. So it was just showing the ultra fans and people losing their minds when the weekend
like
came.
People into the, in the moment.
Yeah.
I love those
just
shots.
He grew with the weekend. He followed him on tour for, the first couple tours or whatever, but then he started his own page and I don't know if this is really his name, but it's Bronx, but spelled Bronques. And it's more of it's kind of morphed into more of a motivational page for artists and creatives. Oh, cool. And just today he posted something that was along the lines of what you just said, devote 5 minutes, 5 minutes is more than nothing. Devote 5 minutes to your art, whatever it is. If you're a painter, paint, lay down 3 strokes before you go to work today, before, you start your workout, before you get into your routine, whatever it is, just do something towards your art, because if you don't do something, then you'll fall victim to imposter syndrome.
Yep.
You'll feel okay, I used to be an artist, I'm not doing anything, just something, anything, literally anything. So for me, I was in architecture school and design school, and the fun part of the wheel world for me has always been, creating and designing and coming up with the stuff that I get to sell. Right.
Right.
So now that's literally my job, is just to kind of establish brand identities and help a team of designers and engineers create and pour into brands with styles that are representative and, just tailored to these particular brands that all have a separate identity within a portfolio. Right.
Right.
So for me, it's it's hard to be a designer who's not designing, but I've found that it's easier for me to relate to my designers and understand, what goes into the process. Mm-hmm. Just by sketching, just dicking around and printing out one of their designs. If I want to see a change, I can easily walk over to them and tell them, hey, increase this fillet, reduce this radius, tighten this up, make this more concentric, or, we can communicate verbally, but it's more rewarding for me to sketch out and just be like, hey, like, you know, I'd rather see this, like, show me this. Like, so for me, like, I avoid burnout and like try and like remain motivated by just tapping into that like creative, you know, passion that I have and just sketching. Like, I have a sketchbook, but I forget about it sometimes. It's in my backpack that I put my computer in every single fucking day. And like maybe once a month, I'll remember that it's in there. And I'm like, oh shit. And I have this fucking, I have this pen, this Japanese pen that I love to fucking write and draw with. It's just so fluid. And it's just like, I feel like the pen, if any other pen, I'm just like, ugh, like I don't like the way it writes. I don't like the way it fucking draws. Like, but this fucking pen, like find a fucking really good pen. If you're a creative, if you're like a, you know, if you're a drawer, like find a good pen or pencil or marker, whatever that like you really like connect with and fucking like just fuck around with it. That's it. Just like you're learning guitar. Like, I feel like I'm always learning design. Like, you know, I don't think I'm any expert. I mean, I'm knowledgeable and I've been doing this for a long time and I know what works and what doesn't, but like, you know, keeping it fun and interesting, like requires like pouring into it, like pouring into your passion, not just being a consumer, but being a creator.
Yeah. Yeah. There you go. Joel Strick, our friend from Down Under. How much is too much? Sorry, Joel. How much is too much to spend on Lego? It's up to you, man. If you got the bucks.
Lego?
If you got the bucks, you do you.
What is like the most expensive like Lego set? Like a Bugatti, dude. Like a fucking, what do they have? Like six scale, like one. Chiron, like.
I saw one the other day. There's like a scale Titanic.
Oh my God. Like
$700-$800.
Oh, that's not even.
It's huge.
I would imagine it's. Yeah, I wouldn't have been surprised if you told me a couple, $3,000.
Yeah, no, I think like a lot of those like big, like the GT3 RSs and stuff, I think those are like anywhere from 250 to 500.
Okay.
Actually, probably closer to 500, because I think that Land Rover I have, which I didn't pay for because I won the Land, that one I think was originally like $200 or something like that.
My, I feel like the opportunity cost would be higher for me. Like how many hours, how long does it take to assemble one of those?
It's actually nice to, because you just take your time, you know, like you could do it because you don't have a child in your house or dogs running around. But like, because when I did the Land Rover, we had it in a separate room where the door was shut. So like people weren't, because I had the bags, you know. But if you had a space, you could do it. You come back to, it's really relaxing to just sit there or do it while you're watching a show or listening to your favorite podcast or, you know, having a beverage or just get fucking high. I don't care. And like, just, you know, it's kind of fun to put them together.
But I mean, is it like days, weeks?
Yeah, like, it could be. I mean, yeah, it depends on how much you want to sit there. Like you could sit down over a weekend and like, knock one out, but
I've seen like Johnny and Farrah post and they're just like, they seem like they're like on a mission. They're just like counting the minutes. Like they're like racing themselves. And I'm like, that's not really the experience I want to have doing this.
No,
not that anything is really relaxing, like assembling and building, but like, yeah, I would want to take my time with it and just like,
yeah,
not have like a deadline.
No. Sit down, set it aside, take some time, come away from it, go back to it. I think that's the way to do it. But Joel, if you got the money, buy whatever you want, buddy. Type R. Kelly, have you all or any listeners seen 1552s on 67 to 72s out, possibly shopping for wheels for my K5? I haven't seen any, but the only one I would recommend from 1552 for that would probably be the Analog, because it's like an old school looking wheel.
Right.
And I actually love that wheel. So I think that could look cool on your truck. Ron would have other thoughts.
We don't need to get into that.
No. Canadian MR2 V6. If someone made Hooniverse action figures of you and Ron, what accessories would your figures have? A bottle of wine.
I was going to say a bottle of fucking whiskey for sure. A bottle of Bullet. A bottle of wine and
mine. Different Nikes you could put on
for sure. Air Max ones for me.
Yeah,
hat backwards. Yeah. I'm in uniform currently, and I don't know, man. Like
no guitar yet though, because I haven't earned it. Another one from Canadian Mr. 2 V6. Is it time for Hyundai Kia to build a flagship car, perhaps a super rival? Hyundai's trying to cook up some shit. They mm-hmm. they have some prototypes that are fucking sick.
Genesis.
Well, even on the Hyundai side, they I drove one briefly at their proving ground. It's that like mid-engine concept they keep tweaking, and now they're electrifying. It was like called like the RM19, and then they came out with the RM20.
I don't know what the fuck you're talking about.
Dude, it was – I'll send you a link afterwards. Yeah, they had this mid-engine fucking concept prototype that they let a handful of journalists drive out at their proving grounds. And I'm like, they tested it at the Nürburgring because they have a facility there. I'm like, holy, this is fucking sick. So I don't think they necessarily need a super rival, but they could definitely come up with, yes, either one of those brands could build something at this point, and I think people would accept it. And they could do it through Genesis, or Hyundai and Kia could do it on their own too, because they're so, I mean,
right.
That Kia EV6 GT is sick as hell.
I just heard Supra rival, where right. I heard super, and I was thinking super car rival, and I was thinking
No.
Yeah, I got it.
Yeah. Our boy Dissonant Smithing.
What's up, Chip?
Clapped out Sentra with an F1 driver or Sentra driver in an F1. Who wins? It's not even close. The average person wouldn't even be able to move the F1 car 3 feet.
You're frozen.
And an F1 driver in a Sentra would probably have that thing on fire on two wheels and set the fastest lap time you've ever seen.
I hate that I missed whatever you said, but you were frozen.
Oh, okay. So Chuck asked a clapped out Sentra with an F1 driver. Sentra with an F1 driver or Sentra driver in an F1, who wins? And I said that the average person wouldn't even be able to move an F1 car.
No, you couldn't even get going. Yeah. Nope. Yeah.
And then an F1 driver in a Sentra will still be very fast.
Yeah, because it's fucking ragged edge, like on two wheels across like all the berms and corners. Yeah.
It's like it'll be like the scene in Days of Thunder when they're racing the rental cars, which is one of my favorite scenes.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Mista asks, which vehicle loses the new comparison test but becomes the preferred used option? It's a very interesting question, and I think I get what you're saying. So if we were saying like Mustang versus Challenger, you'd pick a new Mustang, but you'd pick a used Challenger. Like I'm not saying that's the answer, but right, I think that's the gist of the question. So like, I feel like maybe shit, I don't know. Like if you compared like a new Grand Cherokee to a new Range Rover, theoretically the new Grand Cherokee is the better buy. But like just taking cost into it, but used
5 years later, they're the same cost
or the Range Rover's less. Right. I'll take the Range Rover down the road. So I think that's what you're asking with that question. I think
so.
Tell us if we're wrong.
My answer is clear. 2016 Audi S7. car had fucking $108,000 sticker. I bought it for $45,000 in 2021. And the car, like those cars, like what I loved was when all the magazines, when they tested those cars new, they were significantly slower than when they tested them at the end of like Car and Driver had an S7, like a 2013 S7 as a long-termer.
Yeah,
the car was so much quicker at the end of its 30,000 mile stint with them. Like it was like half a second quicker 0 to 60. Yeah, and it's like the cars just like break in, like, you know, just wear in and like.
So like in the initial test, the CLS would, you know, romp it, whatever right. the BMW was. So the Audi would come in third in right. the new car. Yeah.
Also, you know, it's, you know, that's $108,000 versus 45. Like, and like, yeah. you know, the car's been super reliable. I was joking. When I came down to ride with you in the Raptor on Saturday, the fucking check engine light was on. I was like, fucking yeah. Volkswagen shit. But on the way home, I stopped for gas on the way home. And I realized that the last time that I stopped for gas, I forgot to put the gas cap back on. So
simple.
Yep. I went off and I'm just like, dude, fucking knock on wood. I've had no issues, but yeah.
Nice.
Car that increases, like the performance increases that drastically in, you know, 30, 40,000 miles. Like, I don't know.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Taylor 356, best value EV luxury sedan crossover that's not a Tesla. Basically anything Hyundai Kia at the moment, I think.
Nomaki?
What's that?
Nomaki?
It's good. I don't think the GT version is worth the money they were asking, because I thought whatever the E4X version, like whatever version Farah bought, because I think he bought that one. Yeah. I drove that one. It was like so close to the GT while being like $10,000 cheaper or some shit like that. But I just drove, towards the end of last year, I drove the GV60. It was fucking amazing. It looked cool as shit. You could unlock it with your eyeball. You don't never need the key because it can read your finger.
That's it.
You know, and then like I said, even though it's not a sedan or a crossover, it's somewhere in the middle. I really do like the EV6, and everybody else likes the Ioniq 5.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of the Ioniq 5. I got to drive Scottos for a while in Vegas. And it was an interesting driving experience, but, you know, it was quick. It was comfortable. Like, you know, I like the layout. Like, it was easy to get comfortable in, like, immediately. Yeah. And, I was just like, all right, I got it. And then, I was hauling ass and didn't realize it and, passed, I don't know, state cop or whatever. Just, on some, freeway, and I'm cruised by 85 miles an hour, accelerating, and I was was that a cop? Oh fuck. And you know, you just lift off and fucking decels, and you don't have to fucking slam on brakes in front of a cop. It was cool, man. I really like the styling of that thing, but you know, it was just as cool to drive as it was to look at.
Yeah. Pretty cool projects. Ask thoughts on the Ineos. I always say this word wrong. The Ineos. I always want to say Grenadier, but that's not right. Grenadier.
Sure. I don't know.
You know what it is, though? You know what I'm talking about?
Is that the fucking weird Land Rover looking thing?
It looks like a Defender.
Yeah, exactly.
It looks like an older Defender.
Yeah.
They asked, how would you order yours, tuned B58? So the launch is actually happening right now in Scotland, and no, I wasn't invited, and fans of the OG podcast are sad to hear that I'm not in Scotland. If you listen to the podcast long enough, you'll get that joke. I think it looks cool. Scott Brady, I believe, who's a Overland, you know, he does all that shit. He drove one early, and I think he said some really good things about it. It looks like an old school Defender with modern stuff. So that's appealing to me. I'm going to wait and I got to see one in person, and I have no idea what engines they come with. So I can't answer that question very well, but the bones of it sound really cool.
I blew past one on the way home from SEMA.
Oh yeah. 15.
And, it was funny because there's a group chat from a bunch of Hoonadicks. We used to call it the Hoonadicks group chat, but it was a couple guys. It was Vin, and there was four or five guys that we were all on a group chat, basically racing each other home, even though we left at different times. We were just comparing our arrival times.
Right.
And we're just we were all just what was that fucking weird, Defender, resto mod that we passed? And only Scotto knew what it was. And, we were all just oh, yeah, of course, you know, but,
right.
Yeah, it was awkward in that it was so similar to a Defender 110, yes. But it wasn't. Yeah. So
right.
Yeah, again, I don't know anything about powertrains. I don't know who's making that shit, but
Ineos. Is there I think a chemical, they're a big company. Is they sponsor
the same one that sponsored teams? the fucking 787, the fucking Mazda Le Mans racers? Ineos?
Ineos.
I or E?
Ineos.
Then I don't know who the fuck that is.
Okay. I just got to learn more about it. Noya, Sea Mariner, any thought of you moving back to the right coast or correct coast? LOL. No.
No.
Yeah.
Even fucking basically crippling rain that we've had for the last few weeks.
Yeah, I'm good.
Yeah.
I would love if I was in a position to have my wife has said, if we were ever rich, she would never want a vacation home, which I'm what? I would love the idea of having a vacation home to, you know, establish memories and roots and keep a car there. And and she's no, if we have that much money, I want to go to different places all the time. And we could afford to just rent dope places. I'm that's a good argument, counter argument. So, right. Yeah. But I would love to have something in Vermont or something.
like nowadays, like, you know, when my grandparents like retired and had a little bit of money, whatever, like, you know, they were living comfortably in the '80s. They built a lake house like 45 minutes away from our house in Atlanta out in the country. But then they also had timeshare. And like, I feel like timeshare is like, just like, ugh, like it's ick
yeah.
now, but, yeah. You know, there's Airbnb. So like, you could have the best of both worlds. You could own a vacation home and
right.
rent that bitch out and let it pay for itself and then go on vacation wherever you want. Like,
yeah, but our thoughts were we would be rich enough that we wouldn't need to rent it out.
Sure. Yeah, I mean,
that's the goal.
You know,
that's
there's the something goal. To be said for not having people fucking ick up your place.
Right. This is an interesting question. Terry Dolan, how would you get rid of a body in a hotel room? however they did it in the Venture Brothers when they call the cleaner. That's a cartoon reference. Bro. Or you just call
the wolf.
You turn yourself in and you be honest if it was you. And if it wasn't you, you just hire a good lawyer. And then if it was you and you want to get away with it, you call those friends who you know would help. I don't know what else to say.
We'll call
I
just Zuckerman. Watched
the town, so yeah.
My first call is Zuckerman.
Yeah, that's a good call, probably. And he's like, hey, call any other lawyer. And
he hangs up. Why the fuck are you calling me?
The real Mangs. Why do manual evangelists continue to put down the auto transmission? I understand why they put it down, but I am not the type of person who's like, if this car is auto, it's crap. I never think that. I mean, I love driving the Jag.
Well, it depends on the car. Yeah. I mean, that would be silly to have a manual, right? Like
it'd be fun, but
that would be at odds with a Jaguar driving experience. Like the V8 adds to the driving experience.
Yeah.
But yeah, manual would be kind of weird. It's just like, you don't want to be that busy driving a car like that. You want to just relax and enjoy yourself.
I don't think it
depends on the car. Like, you know,
it
like,
depends on the car, but it depends less on the car these days though, because
right, I was going to say it depends on the alternative for that.
Yeah.
That same
sure.
car. Like, you know, like a GT 500, like DCT, no manual option. Like,
yeah,
I bet that fucking rips. I want to drive. Oh, well, I rode with you in one. I enjoyed it. And, you know, like I would happily take that as, you know, a middle ground option. Like,
right. But if I saw someone with a new 911 and they got the PDK, I'd be like, that's fine.
Right.
That's an amazing gearbox.
I would never have a manual Hellcat. I had an 8-speed Hellcat.
They're
for 3 years.
They were fun though.
Yeah, I bet. But like for me, for my purposes, you know, basically commuting. I would never want a fucking manual Hellcat. And plus the 8-speed's faster. Like,
and it's that 8-speed's a great 8-speed.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
So the subset of people who are like snobbish about it, anybody who's snobbish about anything sucks. So I would just leave it at that.
The performance gap between automatics and manuals of like the 90s and like the beginning of the real performance era to now is so, it has slimmed so much. Like,
well, it's switched.
Like, yeah, exactly.
It's like, switched.
But I mean, just the even just the fun factor, like, you know, it's like, you can't say you're not going to have like a new Supra. Like I've had weekends with the new Supra and I really fucking enjoyed it. And the transmission, I think is a 7-speed DCT in that too, but whatever. Like I wasn't like, God damn, this would be so much better with a manual. Like that had never crossed my mind.
And I've driven vehicles where the opposite's been true. So like, you know, it's an interesting exception, but you could still get certain Wranglers with a stick.
Right.
And I feel like they purposely make it dog shit because the 8-speed for that is excellent. And
the
manual in that is absolute trash. And I think Hyundai did that on a few of their cars where they're like, all right, yeah, here's a manual. I forget what it was. Maybe it was a Volkswagen did it on some of their cars where it's like, all right, you enjoy no clutch feel, you know, like shit like that. And they knew the take rate was low and they just did it to do it. So the opposite is occasionally true too, where the auto is the better choice.
Yeah.
Taco Bellionaire, which is still one of my favorites.
Fucking type R. Kelly and Taco Bellionaire are two of my favorite fucking Instagram handles.
Tips for selling a $3,500 beater. I don't have Facebook, so Marketplace is a no-go. It might be worth making a fake account, because Marketplace sells shit fast.
You can create, I think they call it a commerce account. You can create an account without having like a regular Facebook account, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, that's smart.
Like you have, it's a commerce profile, I think they call it.
Okay. So look into that.
Yeah. You don't have to connect with like your fucking high school sweetheart. And your crazy fucking aunt. Like you can just fucking, no friends, just I'm here to sell shit.
I deleted my account years ago, but then I had to make a fake account just to continue to be able to support the Hooniverse Facebook page. Oh, literally just exists so that posts automatically get sent there because it does deliver traffic to the website. But then the only other reason that I use it is to go on Facebook Marketplace to look at cars. And also occasionally now guitars, even though I don't
join a Facebook group for whatever the fuck it is. Like I'm sure, like I'm a member of like Lexus LS 400s for sale. And it's like, you know, the 90% of the shit for sale there is absolute trash.
Yeah.
Fucking all on fucking bullshit, like camber fucking arms and crazy fucking coilovers or cut springs and just bacon fenders and all sorts of fucking fucked up shit. Yeah. Just like completely ruined cars, but every now and then there's a gym. And it's just like, you know, that's a community that knows what they're getting into. And whatever car you have, I'm sure there's a similar community and a similar Facebook group where you won't be laughed off.
However, if you really don't want to do Facebook, it's worth paying the money for Craigslist because now that's real ads and it's not a lot of money to get an ad out. On the flip side, OfferUp.
Yeah.
People are moving cars there all the time. For those of you who didn't know to look for cars there, look for cars on OfferUp. And then I think Nextdoor lets you sell cars too. So there are alternatives, but
That was Bossom's answer on Shift Talkers. We had that question on one of the episodes that I was on. He suggested Nextdoor.
I never thought of it, and I
still have not like joined a community. I'm not fucking around on Nextdoor. It just seems like Karen Central, but
it is. It 100% is. But I joined because Bossom and I used to send Bossom. For those of you who don't know, is another journalist who drives tons of cool shit. Mm-hmm. And yes, he was on Shift Talkers. He and I would, before I bought the Jag, he and I were looking at Jags and we were sending links back and forth constantly of shit. I'm like, oh, and he went to look at one he found on Nextdoor and like all this shit. It was good stuff. Madalena, what is the best way to find car storage? I mean, besides Google, I don't know. Cause I can't afford car storage or you do like Ron and you team up with five friends and
we're so fortunate, but, I don't really have any advice other than make friends with a bunch of car people that have more cars than space you figure out something. Like something's bound to work out, and we're super fortunate and I'm thankful every day because the peace of mind that I have, like, you know, I had three or four cars at one point before we found the shitbox speakeasy, the garage that we have now. I parked three cars in a public garage across the street from my house in downtown Long Beach. It was gated and quote secured. Like they had security, but I had three cars broken into in 1 year. I had my Tahoe broken into within 1 hour of reactivating my dash cam. I had an owl cam, which, you know, I thought was fucking great because it alerts you if the car is rocked or if glass is broken. Bullshit. Fucking, they like sold the platform and I didn't have service.
All about this. You got fucked on that thing.
Yeah. So I didn't have service for like 2 weeks or whatever. When they finally like created a new subscription service, I paid for it and I parked the car in the parking garage. Less than an hour after parking it, somebody broke in, like wedged the door open, didn't break any glass, didn't like hack the fucking locks or anything. Just wedged the door open, unlocked it and grabbed my fucking security camera, grabbed my dash cam. And, like I had no peace of mind after that. I was like, fuck this. Like I'm not parking this thing over here. So I parked the Audi over there. I'd keep the Tahoe in my garage in my building. And I parked the Audi over there. And like within the first month of parking the Audi over there, somebody smashed the windshield and fucking broke into that and just stole whatever little bullshit was in there. And then the fucking K10, like a few months later, somebody broke into that and hacked up the column. And now that thing like doesn't start and drive because of that. Like it was a running driving truck before that. Somebody like decided to practice their fucking, you know, car stealing fucking skills. And like, where are we going to go? Two flat tires, no headlights. I swear it was just a crackhead. It. I'll just see if I can start it. See if I can fucking get it going. But, So in between all of that shit happening, like, you know, I'd come home from work every day and like go over to the parking garage look for my shit. Like, is it still there? Oh, thank God. And then I'd go fucking walk up to it. Like, are the windows all intact? Like, is anybody Slim Jim this shit? Like, is anybody stolen anything off the car? Like, no, like
that's brutal. Right.
Like, yeah, that like worry, that hesitation, like in the back of your mind every single fucking day. Like I would literally go check on my cars 2 or 3 times a day because, you know, how else would I know when something happened to it, right? If I was gone for a week, I'd be fucking so stressed out. So,
yeah.
I don't know, man. Like, you know, I don't have the answer to that question, but just fucking find it, pay for it. Like, it's the trade-off and peace of mind is so worth it.
Yeah, yeah. There you go. Spike_Africa. When will we see guests again? Need to get Matt on and you on his, vice versa. I would love to do guests, but... This goes back to the earlier comment when the amount of effort to put forth in this podcast, and it is fun when we have guests. It's just hard. It goes back to the motivation thing. It's hard to go out and be like, oh, come on, let's do this, blah, 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 blah. It's because, like I said, we're not getting paid to do this. And I know it can make it a better product occasionally when we get guests on. But then there's also just I have to deal with like the technical side of it, and it makes the edit harder and like – I would love to get more guests on because guests were always such a fun thing, but yeah. I do miss the in-person nature of the guests. Totally. I don't have a studio for this anymore.
And, we can do this shit at my house though. Like if we can get somebody to come to fucking Long Beach and we got a board, like we fucking make it happen.
Yeah, I know. But that's like what burnt me out doing it back when I used to do it.
I know.
I got sick of driving to Chris's. And this is much more convenient, even though on the edit side, it's a pain in the ass.
Yeah.
Because I can never get your footage to sync with your audio, no matter what I do.
I've noticed that lately. You know, I never watch it. Like, I'll listen to it occasionally. I can't listen to more than 5 minutes. Like, 5 minutes in, I'm just like, ooh, that guy sounds like an asshole. And that guy being me. So I'm over it. But, like, there was one, like, I did check one. The fucking... bubble bath episode, like I had to listen to, and the fucking I was talking over you, like the audio was synced so that like I was responding to you, but like I was talking over you, like I was like my response was ahead of your like prompt or question, right, or whatever. So it was just like, you know, it sounded like I was anticipating your answers or your questions, and I was like, I was just a beat ahead of real time. And I was just like, oh my God, I sound like a complete fucking dickhead. Like I hate the sound of my voice to begin with, but now I'm like talking over you and it's just like, ugh, like that one, like, I don't know, like fucking 100 millisecond difference. Geez. Like,
no, that's funny. I don't know.
Unbearable.
I don't know what it is. It's just, it's, I don't know. I don't feel like digging into it too much. Cause like you have a good microphone and it's just the fact that, so like, on my setup, even though I think I locked my webcam off at a certain frame rate, so it's easier to sync audio and video, whereas you're shooting on an iPhone, and that is constantly adjusting frame rate so that your audio stays constant if the frame rate of the camera is moving around. But then there's a program I use that is supposed to be able to fix that, and in the past it could, and for now, for some reason, it's not. And for anybody who knows software and that stuff, I'm talking about Handbrake, and Handbrake isn't working anymore. But whatever, I go through manually, and like every now and then when I see it gets too far, I just slide the audio and line it back up. I go a little bit and I line it back up. So that's where we're at with that. we have one more question from the dude who asked us the Mustang questions from last time in email. Mm-hmm. He says, hey guys, you made me feel like my choice was sound, which was I wanted to keep it. So for those of you who missed last week, he asked about selling a Mustang he's had forever. We said, fuck no.
Was it a 2-valve, 3-valve? I forget.
I forget. But he says, now to the next part. My toddler fucking loves it. He asks if we're going to take the vroom vroom, and that means he wants four 5K RPM clutch launches.
Fuck yeah.
The car has a built rear with 315 Toyo drags on it, so it spins and grips and goes. So here's the next part now. I've had the same setup for years. He means like 10 years. I want to freshen it up. I did a 3-inch cowl and Saline rear wing 3 years ago, which I love. However, I'm still on OEM Ford bullet wheels up front, 17x8, and I have 17x10.5 rears with those 315 drags. I really want to keep sidewall, so 17 or 18 is max for me. Car is, as you said, a fun street car that sees the strip sometime. Granted, I live in Florida, possibly like to get into more road racing. Sebring's only 3 hours away. Loads of drag experience, so it's time for something new, which means a spring rate change, blah, blah, blah. So it sounds like – it just sounds like they want to change wheels up is all I'm hearing, which wheels can transform a car. New wheels can transform a car.
Yeah. I mean, if you want to go road racing, if you want to do, like, handling shit, if you want to turn, just do, like, 18.5 front rear with, like, a 275 tire and fucking call it a day.
Yeah.
That way you can rotate and like maximize your tire life, and you know you'll have the front end grip that that'll make that car a lot more capable and fun, you know, going around corners.
And you can, and if you're tired of the OEM bullets, you probably just find something from American Racing and
call it I mean good. You could like there's so many fucking options, like go to LMR, go to AmericanRacing.com, just fucking 18x9.5, like a 275, 35, I think, for an SN95. I think it was an SN95 car. Yeah, I mean, just fucking max that bitch out.
But we're happy to hear you're keeping it. That's all we got this week, by the way. So thank you all for listening. Thanks for the questions. Keep an eye out for that new t-shirt, which is coming soon.
Hell yeah. Buy that shit.
Buy that shit. Hell yeah. That's it. We'll see you all next week.